Well, we're almost to the end of our Ephesians study. Thank you, Art, for reading this. Whenever God quickens and calls His child, He doesn't call us and take us to heaven. He calls us and He puts us in a battle. He says, fight the good fight of faith. It's a dangerous battle. It's a battle that where we are often wounded. And it's a battle in which we fight against a supernatural enemy. And we need supernatural weapons. He says here, first of all, the thing we need for this battle is strength. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Believers don't have any strength. We don't have any strength. We couldn't make ourselves believe, repent. We couldn't bring ourselves to Christ. We could do none of those things. We certainly couldn't make ourselves righteous and put away our sin. We have no strength by nature. I wish we could understand how weak we are. Men talk about their will, and that's the weakest thing a man could even possibly boast on. I think one of the reasons that God has allowed man to glory in his will, it being the weakest thing he could possibly glory in, is to show just how utterly weak we are. Our strength is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, brethren, you who believe, be strong in the Lord. He says, in the power of His might. Look over at 2 Corinthians at chapter 12 and verse 9. Just a few pages back. Four or five pages back. The Lord gave Paul the thorn in the flesh to buffet him, to humble him, to bring him down so that he wouldn't be glorying in himself after God took him up to the third heaven and showed him things he couldn't even utter. And he says, then he prayed for this to be removed. And he said in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. God will give us sufficient grace, and that grace He gives will be sufficient. He gives us grace for today. And He, you know, the problem is we see our funds go down. We see us not having everything to provide for ourselves for years to come, and we begin to fret. God said, I'm going to provide everything as you need it all the time. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's how I make my strength to be known, is through your weakness. We're strong, he says here. He says, I'm going to gladly, therefore, glory in my infirmities. I'm going to be glad for them. I'm going to rejoice that I have things that make me weak. Why? Because that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ. That's when we're strong. When the power of Christ rests upon us. And then, look here, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You take a son. He lives at home. Or say one of your children lives at home. And you say to him, son, I'm going to provide you an allowance. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to give you a car to drive. I'm going to put gas in the tank. I'm going to provide everything you need. Now you go down there to the firehouse and you sit and hear the gospel preached. Every time the door opens, you go down there and hear the gospel preached. And one day, Art decides, I'm going to cut back his allowance. And he tells the son, but I'm going to give you grace today. I'm going to give you what you need today. I'm going to feed you what you need today. I'm going to give you just what you need for spending today. And I'm going to give you everything else. Now go down there to that house and hear the gospel preached. And let's say he said, And as you go down there and hear the gospel preached, I'm going to just load you down with riches. I'm going to load you down with riches. Riches that you can't even, like you can't even imagine. I'm going to load you down with riches. He said, now go down there and hear that gospel preached. And what if the son said, well, you know, I can't go down there and hear the gospel preached because my dad cut my allowance back to where all I've got is just enough for today. And he said, but if you don't go down there to that house, I'm going to turn everything in your life upside down. I'm going to make sure that you can't ever succeed. And he said, well, I'd go down there, but all I got's enough for today. The father told him, I'll give you everything you need. I'm not going to give you extra. I'm just going to give you what you need today. But I'm going to give it to you on a per-need basis all the time. And as you go down there and hear, I'm going to load you up with riches. You'd say, that son is crazy. What's the difference in that and you and I getting our father cutting us back on our allowance, but still saying, I'm going to still provide for you every day as you need it? I go down there and hear my gospel preached. And you say, well, I can't go because he cut my allowance back. The one who said, I'm going to load you down with all spiritual riches. Not to mention, I'm going to provide every lesser thing. I gave you my son. I'm going to provide everything. I can't go hear him preached. I can't honor my father knowing he's going to provide this for me. When at the same time he said, all I have to do is blow up on it. And you can't put your next foot in front of the other, much less get ahead any other way. You see what I'm saying? We can understand it when it's our family and we look at it a little, but that's the same way with God. That's how he's controlling everything. In all things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's our strength. A branch gets all the strength from the vine. And you take that branch and you cut that branch off and you throw it over there to the side, you can just sit and watch it. It's going to wither and die because it has no strength. It has absolutely no strength, no sap coming into it, no life coming into it, no strength. It's going to wither and die. And that's us, brethren. That's Christ is our life and our strength. We have to be abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. And that fruit, brethren, includes spiritual fruit. It includes fruit in your everyday life. It includes everything about your daily life. You can't bring forth fruit in any way except Christ make you fruitful. Period. I can't either. Look at this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. He that abideth in me and I in him. The same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And so the Holy Spirit here now, through the Apostle Paul, turns us to our strength. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now, our armor for this fight that God has called every believer into is of God. The armor is of God. The armor is of God. He just said, our strength is in the Lord, in the power of His might. And He calls it here the whole armor of God. God provides it. God gives it. God's the sum of it. And God's the efficacy of it. This armor is of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This happened to me, here's my solution. Here's what I'm going to do. It's a carnal weapon. That's a carnal weapon. Our weapons aren't carnal. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to flee to Christ. I'm going to get closer to Christ. I'm going to abide in Christ more. There's your weapon. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what they are. So first of all, we got that. We need to understand this. Our strength, our only strength, is Christ Jesus, in whom the triune God abides. He's our only strength. All right, now here's the second thing. To fight this battle, we have to know who the enemy is. We got to know who our enemy is if we're going to fight this battle. All right, verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, we know that we wrestle against our flesh from Romans 7. And we know that we have men in this world who oppose us. But what it means right here is our adversary, our number one chief adversary, is not man, but it's the devil. The wiles of the devil. When he says here, principalities and powers, he's speaking of unseen spiritual demons, fallen angels. God made them, and they sinned against God. You can read about them in 2 Peter 2:4 at your leisure. They sinned against God, and God cast them down to hell. But they're fulfilling God's purpose. They're fulfilling God's purpose. And he calls them here rulers of the darkness of this world. That the darkness is every man, woman, and child who is in spiritual darkness, in spiritual death. And they, these wicked spiritual demons, these wicked spirits, are the rulers of them. Of everybody who's an unbeliever, unregenerate, in darkness. They're the rulers of them. And they rule all the darkness. And then he calls it here spiritual wickedness, or a better translation would be wicked spirits in high places. They're wicked spirits in high places. The high places means they're celestial beings. They're wicked angels. Satan's called the prince of the power of the air. Look over to Ephesians 2 and verse 2. He says, we were dead in trespasses and in sins, verse 2, wherein we walk in time past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. The spirit, that wicked spirit in celestial high places that now works in the children of disobedience. That's who we're wrestling against. He, right now, he's working in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience are called in our text the darkness of this world. They're dark. They have no light. They have no life. And he's ruling them. You sitting here, I told you this last week, I think. You sitting here who don't know God, don't believe God, you're ruled by the devil. And you're under his power. It's just how it is. And believers, you and I, brethren, we're wrestling against an innumerable, invisible legion of wicked devil and his angels and spirits. That's what we're, and they're all under the power of the devil. And this enemy's dangerous. He's dangerous not only because he's invisible and you can't see him. He's dangerous not only because he's more powerful than you and I, but he's dangerous because he's subtle. That's why he's dangerous, most of all. Somebody called the chains of the devil silk chains. They feel good. Chains that feel good. Genesis 3:1 says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He didn't come to the man because the man was the head. He came to the weaker vessel. He came to Eve. That was a very wise thing for him to do. He came to her. And he didn't just come and trick her just in some blatant way. He very carefully, craftily tricked her. He came up and he said, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of this garden? He questions. That's what he puts, a question in your mind. A question in your mind. So you question yourself right into hell and you never can hear him speak. Questions, 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 questions. Oh, that God would shut our mouths and deliver us from Satan's questions. So that's the enemy, all right? Because he's strong and invisible and so crafty, wherefore we're to take upon us our spiritual weapons. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There was a picture of this armory in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant. We read about the Tower of David, which was builded for an armory, whereon there hung 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. We read about Hezekiah's house of armor. We read about the armor of the house of the forest. We read about Solomon's 70 valiant men, the valiant of Israel, who held swords, being expert in war, every man having his sword upon his thigh because of the fear of the night, the fear of darkness that's in the darkness. And that earthly armor in earthly Jerusalem that was provided by earthly David and earthly Solomon, it pictures our heavenly armory in heavenly Jerusalem, provided by our heavenly King David, our heavenly King Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 50:25 says, "The Lord has opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation." So he says, now, take the whole armor of God and put on the whole armor of God. Take it and put it on, he says. The armor is whole. It's complete and it's perfect. It's whole. That we're to take it, we're not to make it. It's whole. It's already completed. If you're taking something and putting it on, well, you're going to go into the store and you pick out your blouse, ladies, that you want. Or you're going to then take it in there and say, well, let me start sewing on. Let me add a sleeve to it. No, it's already made. It's whole. Well, he says, this armor's already whole. It's already made. And you take it and you put it on. That's what he said. And he says, and take the whole armor of God. Don't just take part of it. Put all of it on. Remember the king? Who was it? Was it Ahab that was shot with the arrow? He reared back, shot an arrow. She shot his bow at a venture. And he had one little place where his armor wasn't whole. It was a crease in it. And so that arrow found its way in that crease and struck him, and he lay there and he died. He bled to death. Well, brethren, this armor's whole. There is not a seam in this armor anywhere. It's whole. So that no fiery darts of Satan can get into it. And he says, and you take this armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're to withstand. That means oppose. That means oppose. That means fight back. That's what it means. And we're to withstand standing with Christ Jesus, our captain of our warfare. We're to withstand standing with the army, Christ's people, the church. There's no deserters in this battle. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition. We're of them who persevere unto the end in our Savior. We're not drawing back. We're not deserting. We're not going AWOL. We're not trying to fight this fight on our own. We're standing with His people. And He says that you might withstand in the evil day. That's not some great day at the end of this world when all of a sudden it's going to be all this big Armageddon go on. No, that fight's going on right now. That fight's going on right now. It's every day with every trial and every conflict and every temptation that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. That's the evil day. The day is, Christ said, sufficiently full of evil. Every day. And he says, and having done all, is to withstand in the evil day, and then having done all, to stand. One of Satan's crafty tricks is he makes you think that you've won the battle. The battle's over. You've won it. The temptation's come, and it's gone, and you've won the battle now. And all of a sudden, you find yourself so proud that you won the battle. And so happy that you overcame. And you just step right into his trap, right into his snare. And he's got you all proud and happy about you when you got nothing to be proud and happy about. Joseph Hart wrote a song. I'm going to quote it as I read through here. He wrote a song about this whole text. And I'm just going to quote the parts that go with each point. But he said this. This is his first couple of verses. He said, "Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier. Lo, thy captain calls thee out. Let the danger make thee bolder. War in weakness and dare in doubt. Buckle on thy heavenly armor. Patch up no inglorious peace. Let thy courage wax the warmer as thy foes and fears increase." How did God say that His strength's made perfect? In weakness. The weaker you become, that's the more you valiantly you fight and show your strength, because your strength's Him. All right, fourthly, let's look at this heavenly armor now. First of all, the girdle. Verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Now, this is the first piece of armor. This goes on before anything else goes on. This is the under armor. This is the bulletproof vest that we have to have on. Without this, the rest of the armor is not even going to fit you. It won't even fit you right. Without this right here, this is vital. This is most important. The loins speak of where the strength is. The loins is where the strength is. And he says, gird your loins with truth. Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Here's what we need our loins girded with. We need a true, living union with the true Christ. That's what we need. First, before anything else, this is what we have to have. That's why Christ said, "Without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, and I'll be in you." And that's how you'll prevail. We have to have this true, living union with the true Christ. The Christ who's God. That's who we need a union with. The true Christ. The Christ who accomplished the redemption of His people. Not trying to do something. Not wanting to do something. Not under the power of the devil. Not under the power of men. Christ who is successful and accomplished the redemption of His people. That's who we need our loins girded with. We need Christ who's now risen at the right hand of the Father, who's reigning and ruling all heaven and all earth, demons included. That's who we need. That same one who said to the devil when he came in the worship service with Job, and he said, the Lord said to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And the devil said, "You got a hedge built around him. How can I? I can't touch him. I can't do a thing to him unless you give me permission." That's the Christ I'm talking about. The one who's triumphed over powers and principalities. And the one who's got a name above all powers and principalities. That one who's the head over all. That's who I'm talking about. Christ Jesus, who sends His Word where He will and accomplishes what He will with His Word in His people, in His time, right on time. That's the Christ I'm talking about. Christ who is successful in calling out each of His sheep, and who shall call out each of His sheep and not one of them be lost. We're talking about Christ who's God. We need a living union with the true Christ. The literal translation says, having your loins girt about in truth. Having your loins girt about in truth. With the truth as it is in Jesus. That's where the truth is. It's in Jesus. If you entered this spiritual conflict and you entered this battle and you were ignorant and you were doubting and you believe a lie, you would enter this conflict lame and wounded already. Mortally wounded already. You can't enter this conflict, brethren,
with your own speculations and your own, and looking at traditions of men and wavering between this opinion and that opinion and holding on to a dead system of doctrine. You cannot fight this fight with that. Satan does his best work in religion. He wants you to have your armor and all that mess, because that's playing right into his hand. He wants you to be covered in armor with all that the vain stuff that men are concerned about. If our inward man is not truly girded with Christ the truth, when the day of evil comes, and it'll come, when it comes, instead of a girdle, there shall be a rent. It's going to break. It's going to break. So first, by God's power and grace, lay hold of Christ the truth in truth. Lay hold of Christ the truth in truth. In truth. And then he says here, and take having the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Now some people say this is practical righteousness. Or integrity. They say it's your doing that which is right and the integrity of your heart. But it can't be anything that's produced by us or maintained by us, brethren. He started out saying, go to the Lord who is your strength. He started out saying, the power of His might. And we started this thing saying it's the armor of God. You and I don't have any strength. We can't maintain any strength. You sit there and you think, if you think you can maintain your strength, you just pay attention to how quickly your thoughts ramble and just go off in all directions. You can't even control your thoughts. You can't even control your thoughts. What match are you going to be for Satan and his invisible army? Blowing like the wind upon you. Moving you. Moving men. Moving popular opinions and political correctness and peer pressure and all of these different things that we succumb to so easily, brethren. We can't fight against that if it was up to us. I read an old story about this battle that went on against the Chinese. I don't even know what war it was in. But this army came up to this Chinese fort. And it had walls around the fort. And there was some Chinese soldiers walking along the top of this wall all around this fort. And as they sat there from a distance looking at this fort, man, the armor was shining on these soldiers, you know. And they thought, man, these fellows they're well fortified. They got bright armor and everything, and as they got closer, they began to fight, and they exchanged gunfire and everything, and this approaching army came in, and they captured the Chinese, and turned out that this armor that they thought was armor, it was just glittery paper that they had made to look like armor, because they really didn't have any armor. They were just trying to turn away the enemy, make them think they were well shielded from all danger. Shiny to the eye, but weak as water. Shiny to the eye, but weak as water. That's what our righteousnesses are. That's why we can't prevail by any righteousness of our own. Now, this breastplate of righteousness is Christ, our righteousness. The righteousness of Christ imputed to us through faith in Christ. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is the Lord we're talking about. Now, indeed, there's no doubt Christ is formed in us. And when Christ is formed in us, you and I want to do right. We want to obey the Lord. We want to do that which is right according to Christ's word to us. Yet Satan could find plenty to accuse us with in our works, because sin's mixed with all we do, brethren. And Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Look at Zechariah 3. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. This is that passage I referred you to the other day when I was talking to you about whenever Satan stood using the body of Moses. That's what he uses. Satan always uses the body of Moses, the law of Moses, to accuse us to God. That's what he uses. This is that body that's dead because Christ put away our sin now, that body of Moses, as we saw in Romans 8. But that's the body he uses to accuse us. Look at this now. Zechariah 3:1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. There's Joshua. He's a believer. He's standing there. He's a servant of God. And he's standing there before the angel of the Lord. That's Christ Jesus. Well, surely Joshua, being the high priest, surely he's a moral man. Surely he's a righteous man. Surely he's got plenty of ammunition to guard against Satan's accusations. Look who Satan went to. And Satan stood at his right hand to resist him. To resist him. He was going to accuse Joshua to God using the law of Moses. That's what he was going to do. And he was going to resist Joshua. He was going to accuse Joshua in his own conscience. And look what happened. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. The Lord Jesus said unto Satan, the Lord God rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. That is, God the Father. He's the one that did the choosing. He'll rebuke thee. And Christ said, is not Joshua a brand plucked out of the fire? That's what you and I are, brethren. It don't matter how old or how young in the faith we are. We're a brand plucked out of the fire. You know what happens when you pluck a brand out of the fire? It's smoking and smoldering and stinking. That's what it is. And that's what we are. Pulled out of the fire. About to be destroyed. Pulled out by Christ. And Satan stands at our right hand to resist us. I don't want to defend him by my weapons, my carnal web. I want to be defended by my mediator, by my redeemer, by my advocate with the Father, who said, my presence standing here means I don't even have to rebuke you, Satan. My Father will rebuke you. Christ, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our righteousness, our propitiation with the Father. And therefore, He intercedes for us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. On his song, Joseph Hart, on this part, he wrote this. Righteousness within thee rooted may appear to take thy part, but let righteousness imputed be the breastplate of thy heart. I don't want to look to any righteousness in me. And if you are truly recreated in the righteousness and holiness of Christ by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, the manifestation of it is you won't be looking within, you'll be looking at Christ, your righteousness. Christ Jesus is our only righteousness. He put away our sin. He justified us freely. He robed us in His righteousness and put the breastplate of His righteousness upon us. And this is the strength of our inward heart, that breastplate. This is the strength. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, to them who are the called, or them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because Christ came and did for me what I could not do. He came and He fulfilled the whole law so that the whole law of God is fulfilled by me through believing on Him. That's what He did for me. Now that, brethren, that'll hold you up. That's a breastplate that'll protect you. All right, then he says this, put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. The shoes of the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15. And your feet shod with the preparation, the preparedness of the gospel of peace. Do you remember what God said that the devil would bruise on our Savior? His heel. His heel. And if possible, the devil will bruise the heel of God's saints. He will tangle us up in our walk, and he will attempt to snare us and make us lame altogether. But God, in His infinite mercy, has provided shoes for the feet of His saints. He's provided shoes for the feet of His saints. The good news of the gospel of Christ, the good news of the gospel of Christ gives peace by giving us a firm foundation on which to set our feet. Look at Isaiah 28:16. Isaiah 28:16. He said, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. And just in case we don't understand who this foundation is, the Apostle Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 40. Look at Psalm 40. This is the gospel of peace right here. And this is where our feet are shod with. Psalm 40 verse 2. This is our peace. This is what good news is brought to us, and this is why our feet are safe and secure. Psalm 40 verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the pit of sin and death, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my going. Established on a rock. That's the gospel of peace that shods our feet. In 2 Samuel 22:34 says, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon high places. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. You ever seen those goats and those rams that live in the mountains and in the rocks? And that's a hind. They can get across that mountain and just rock is all it is. Nothing to get a foothold on. He's made my feet like hind's feet. But their best habitat, their most sure-footed place to be is on that rock. You put them out there in the swamp, they couldn't do that. You put them on that rock, they can do what you see them do. And that's where a believer, He's put us on that rock, brethren. And that's where our feet are sure. Sure footing. There's no stumbling stones. There's a clear course that He set before us. And He set the joy before us. And He says, now you run the race set before you, looking to Christ. Your feet are prepared. Run. Lay aside the weight that besets you and run this race looking to Christ. And so this gospel is written. Remember He said, write it so that he that reads it can run with it. That's what you need these boots for, is to run with them. And we read this word, and we have this gospel of peace, and He says, now you run with it. Run with it. Run into all the world with it and preach this word. This is the gospel of peace. All right, then He says this, and take the shield of faith. The shield of faith, verse 16. And above all, or covering all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you believe our Redeemer? Do you believe Him? He said, he that believes on me has eternal life. I believe Him. That's what faith does. Faith believes on Him. Christ promised us, my sheep shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. By the gift of faith, we believe Christ. I believe His word. The promise God made to the Son was this. He said, His seed also, that means you and I who believe, His children, His seed will I make to endure forever, and His throne as the days of heaven. Do you believe Him? Faith believes Him. You know how Abraham overcame all the fiery darts of Satan? He was old. His wife was old. And God tells him, you're going to have a child. You can't do anything good. You can't. And yet God says you're righteous. God says you're going to inherit eternal glory with Christ forever. And yet all you see is this earth and this temporal and all this stuff. Well, all Abraham saw was his dead body. And all he looked at when he saw his wife was her dead womb. and God says you're going to have a child, how did he quench all those fiery darts that Satan would fire at him and make him to doubt? It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able also to perform. There's the shield that'll quench all the fiery darts. Flee to Christ, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. This shield, did you see those fellows over there in Paris when they were walking up there to try to shoot those terrorists? And they had that shield, and that shield went from their top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And he was walking little steps like this behind that shield. We're talking about a shield. We're talking about a shield that covers you from head to toe. It's right here. Peter knew better than anybody. And he said this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What's our first desire and our first just impulse whenever we come into temptation or trial or danger or harm? What's the first thing we try to do? Fix it. We try to fix it. We try to exalt ourselves, save ourselves, set our nest up on high, and make this all go away and be fixed by our own hand. That's the first thing we do. He said, God resists the proud. He resists the proud. God sent the trial, and you and I think the trial is tremendous, and it's the worst thing that we've ever encountered in our life. But it's nothing to God. It's nothing to God. He can send a tsunami. He can send a earthquake. It's whatever little trial we have. It's nothing to God. And he sent it, brethren, so that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due time. Peter said, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He says, being sober and being vigilant. That means turning from this world's drunkenness and their darkness and being vigilant to take this armor and put this armor on, as the Spirit of God enables you. And he says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He knew better than anybody. Joseph Hart said this, when dangers closer threaten, and thy soul draws near to death, when assaulted sore by Satan, then object the shield of faith. Fiery darts of fierce temptations intercepted by thy God there shall lose their force in patience, sheathed in love and quenched in blood. I like that verse. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:8. I'm almost finished. I want you to see this. It shows us what it is. The devil's going to aim at your head. He's going to aim at your head, your intellect, your reason. Paul said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in the garden, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He's going to use the order of things in this world and what your friends all think about that. He's going to use that to make you think, well, it's what God says is not right. He aims to make you reason that it's not fair for God to choose whom he will. He's going to make it so that your mind begins to think that it's not right for Christ to give eternal life to as many as the Father gave to him. And worst of all, he's going to make you start doubting that you're saved. And he's going to do that so that he can get you to try to start adding something to Christ's finished work to make sure you're saved. That's what he'll do. But look at this, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. He said, put on the helmet of salvation. What's that mean? Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
There's your helmet. Put that on and don't listen to the world. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to any objections whatsoever. Listen to Mr. Hart. Shod with gospel preparation, in the paths of promise tread, let the hope of free salvation as a helmet guard thy head. And then we have an offensive weapon. It's a sword. Verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the weapon that, now, it's not the Spirit wielding the sword, it's us wielding the sword. But it's the Spirit that makes the sword effectual. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And this is that sword, this is that spiritual weapon that Christ said the gates of hell won't prevail against this one. They can shut up their gates and lock them tight. They can call me you don't want to have anything to do with him. He's in that camp of that cultish camp. He's in that camp that teaches you salvation's all of grace. You don't want to be there. And the word just goes right into that camp, right into their midst, and penetrates the gates of hell and brings his child right out of it. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. This is the gates. So brethren, this is the, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God every day. Every day. Turn the TV off and read the Word of God. And heed the Word of God every day. Read it to your children and teach it to your children. This is nothing more important than this. This is the sword, brethren. The two-edged sword. It pierces to the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is the sword. Satan can't prevail against it. Listen to this. When beset with various evils, wield the Spirit's two-edged sword. Cut thy way through hosts of devils while they fall before the Word. And then here's one more weapon. It's prayer. It's prayer. You mean if I just pray, that's going to make Satan go away? No, it's the one to whom we pray. It's our strength in all of this. Look at this, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Don't you find that you pray always? I find that I walk around now in just feeling it's all right to just start thanking God for something. And you just have it. You just always in that spirit, and that's what true prayer is. It's a state of being, is what it is. It's a state of worship, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of God, of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and I have a feeling as he was writing this letter to the Ephesians, there was a soldier standing outside his door, and he had on a helmet, and he had on a breastplate, and he had a shield, and his feet were shod. And Paul was sitting there writing and just using all that as an illustration of what God's done for his people. And so if he shot us and he shielded us and he's armored us and he's put a helmet on us and all that, then I'll go to him and ask him, Lord, make it effectual. Make it effectual in my brethren. Make it effectual in my preacher. Make it effectual in all of them. Make it effectual. Make it effectual. Joseph Hart, I'll end with this. Let me tell you what our advocate said first. He said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Because if his words abide in you and you abide in him, what your will is going to be is this, Lord, thy will be done. And you'll get that answered every time, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. All right, here's Joseph Hart wound it up with this. Though to speak, thou be not able, always pray and never rest.
Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. Ever on thy captain calling, make thy worst condition known. He shall hold thee up when falling, or shall lift thee up when down. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Father, we thank you that you've provided us full armor, that you're the power of that armor, that you put it on us, that you keep us protected by it, by the efficacy of your strength. Lord, thank you. Thank you for truth. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to come into your throne room and access your presence in prayer. Lord, we pray that you'll keep us and provide for us. Call out your sheep. Penetrate the gates of hell. Call out your people. And Lord, give yourself all the glory and all the honor. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right.